Good evening. Let's open our Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 10. While you're turning, I heard from our pastor earlier today, and it sounds like they're having a pretty relaxing time. So thankful they're getting some rest, and I look forward to having them back soon. 1 Kings chapter 10. Begin reading with verse 1. And when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions. And she came to Jerusalem with a very great train, with camels that bear spices, very much gold and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. And Solomon told her all her questions. There was not anything hid from the king which he told her not. And when the queen of Sheba had seen all of Solomon's wisdom, and the house that he had built, and the meat of his table, and the sitting of his servants, and the attendance of his ministers, and their apparel, and his cupbearers, and his ascent by which he went up into the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. And she said to the king, "It was a true report that I heard in mine own land of the acts of thy wisdom. Howbeit I believed not the words until I came, and mine eyes seen it. And behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceeded the fame which I heard. Happy are thy men, happy are these thy servants, which stand continually before thee and hear thy wisdom. Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighted in thee, to set thee on the throne of Israel, because the Lord loved Israel forever. Therefore made he thee king to do judgment and justice." We'll end our reading there. Sean, you come lead us.
Okay, if you would turn to song number 126, Rock of Ages.
Rock of Ages, clap for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from my wounded side which flowed be of sin the double cure. Save from wrath and make me pure. Could my tears forever flow, could my zeal no longer know, these for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. In my hand no price I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. While I draw this fleeting breath, when my eyes shall close in death, when I rise to worlds unknown, and behold thee on thy throne, Rock of Ages, clap for me. Let me hide myself in thee.
Okay. And the next one is song number 228. I think I got the right order. I said Carrie. I couldn't remember the right order.
My faith has found a resting place, not in device nor creed. I trust the ever-living One, His wounds for me shall plead. I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that He died. for me that Jesus saves. This ends my fear and doubt. A sinful soul, I come to Him. He'll never cast me out. I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that He died for me. My heart is leaning on the Word, the written Word of God. Salvation by my Savior's name, salvation through His blood. I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that He died for me. My great physician heals the sick, the lost He came to save. For me His precious blood He shed, for me His life He gave. I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that He died for me.
Open your Bibles at Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5, we'll begin reading in verse 22 through the end of the chapter. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. We are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Let's go to our Lord and pray. Our God and Father in heaven, we thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to gather together as a people. Lord, we thank you for your Son, for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we desire to know more of Him. Lord, we pray that you bless us as we've gathered here together. Lord, you promise where two or three are gathered in your name, you'll be in the midst of them. And Lord, we pray for your presence here this evening. Lord, that you would set aside our many doubts, the thoughts and cares of this world. And Lord, truly that you would let us see Christ, that you would let us see more of our Savior. Lord, we thank you for your mercy and your grace and goodness to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, bless us to know him. Lord, for those of our number who in a time of difficulty and trouble, Lord, we pray you'd be with your people. Lord, that you would comfort and strengthen and give peace as only you can. Lord, heal thy people. Lord, those that have been away from us, Lord, that you'd be pleased to, Lord, enable them to return to the worship service. Lord, to once again hear thy word. Now again, we pray once again for your presence here this evening. Bless us to know more of our Savior. For it's in his name we pray and give thee thanks.
Hallelujah.
I can find that. That last verse. I hope I can read this. In the beauty of the lilies, Christ was born across the sea with a glory in his bosom that transfigures you and me. As he died to make men holy, let us die to make men free. His truth is marching on. If there was ever a battle cry, that has to be it right there. Thank you for saying that, Isaac. Open your Bibles with me to Genesis chapter 24. Here in Genesis 24, we have a love story. The title of the message comes from verse 67. Speaking of Isaac, it says, he loved her. Let's start back in verse 1. Now this is one of those Old Testament pictures of Christ. And I confess, every time I see one, I say that's my favorite one. I just don't think there's anything quite like these Old Testament pictures. And time again, we're reminded that no picture is perfect. The fact that sinful man is used in them, and these things take place upon the earth, they can't be perfect. But throughout the scriptures, Almighty God uses earthly stories and people. Real people in his word to illustrate heavenly truths. And I want to look at one of those here this evening in Genesis 24. Here we have the account of Abraham's servant. And we see here four people, four primary characters here in Abraham he sends his servant to seek a bride for his son, Isaac. We have Abraham, who pictures Almighty God. Isaac, who represents the Lord Jesus Christ. His servant, Abraham's trusted servant, who pictures every minister of the gospel. And then we have Rebecca, who pictures every true believer. So again, let's begin reading here in Genesis chapter 24. Beginning with verse 1, we read, Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant, the eldest servant of his house, that ruled over all that he had, he said, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I'll make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac. Now here we see Abraham was, not only was he an old man, but he was a wealthy man. And his son Isaac was heir of all that he had. And Abraham sends his eldest servant, no doubt his most trusted servant. No doubt that servant, he probably relied on that servant to take care of many things. But nothing more important than the trip he's about ready to send him on. He's going to send him forth to find a wife for his son. A bride that would share with Isaac all the riches and glory of his kingdom. And the Lord Jesus Christ, He's the only begotten of the Father, the only begotten Son of God. He's the heir of all things. And He's given all things into His hand. In John 3:35, we read, "The Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into His hands." All things. Turn with me to Colossians. Hold your place there. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 1. Beginning with verse 16 of Colossians 1. "For by Him were all things created." All things. All things that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible, invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things exist. And He's the head of the body, the church, the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. He is Lord, and He is King. By decree, by design, by His death, He is Lord of all things. And the Scriptures declare that God has chosen. He has chosen. Out of every tribe, nation, kindred, tongue, a people. A people, a peculiar people for Himself. A bride. A bride for His Son. In John 13:18, I speak not of you all. He says, "I know whom I have chosen." He knows His sheep. He knows them by name. In John 15:16, He said, "You've not chosen me. You didn't choose me, but I have chosen you." In John 15:19, He says, "If you were the world would love his own, but because you are not of this world, but I have chosen you out of this world." Almighty God chose the people. Isn't that comforting? We would never. We could say we would, but we would have never chosen Him had He not chosen us first. A people chosen to be the bride of His Son. Joint heirs with Him. All that He's purchased. And all that He owns. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, beginning with verse 14. "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, we may be also glorified together." By nature, the children of wrath. By His grace, children of God. And joint heirs. Think about that. You know, it's something to be an heir. An heir to something. But to be joint heirs with Christ. all that he's purchased, all that he's owned, it's given, freely given to his people in Christ. And as an heir, all that we have is by virtue of our relationship to him. We probably know a lot of people that it'd be nice to be their heir, but we're not. You know, we just read that we're joint heirs with Christ, and he's given us an inheritance. Listen, that's incorruptible, undefiled, and fadeth not away. Everything in this world, what we just read there, it's corruptible. It's defiled. It's going to fade away. But what he has reserved for his people, it's incorruptible, undefiled, and fadeth not away. Listen, reserved. Reserved in heaven for you. And listen, the Father calls and equips and sends his servants, preachers of the gospel, out into this world, just as that faithful servant was sent out to find a bride for Isaac. Almighty God sends forth his servants to preach the truth of the word, looking for his bride, declaring the truth to that bride, the church, his sheep. He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Paul said, he sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, to preach the truth of God's word. We tell men, be ye reconciled unto God. Your sins have separated you and your God. Be ye reconciled to God. Now back to our text, back here in Genesis 24. Listen to the servant's questions. Genesis 24, beginning with verse 5. The servant said unto him, peradventure, the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I needs bring thy son again unto the land from whence thou camest? And Abraham said unto him, beware thou. Thou bring not my son thither again. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me and that sware unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land. He shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. And if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, and thou shalt be clear from this my oath, only bring not my son thither again. And the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham his master, and swear to him concerning this matter. He said, what if the woman, what if this bride is, she's unwilling to leave her family? What if she's unwilling to give herself to love and marry a man she's never seen and knows nothing of? That seems like a pretty reasonable question, doesn't it? He said, I'm going to tell of your son and this woman who's never doesn't know him, never seen him. She's going to come and be his husband, be his bride. Well, Abraham has seen a few things, hadn't he? Think about that. You know, he was 100 years old when Isaac was born. He'd seen things that would seem impossible happen. Remember that when he took Isaac and he put him up on that altar? God told him, he said, take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac. Offer him as a sacrifice. The fear that had to be in his heart, that the Lord had gave him a son and now he was going to destroy him. And behold, that lamb, that ram in the thicket. God had showed him over and over deliverance. Huh? That which is impossible with man is possible with God. Abraham answered him. He said, the Lord God of heaven, that, listen, he took me. He took me from my father's house. He took me from the land of my kindred, which he spake unto me and sware unto me, saying, thy seed will I give this land. This is the same God. He hasn't changed. Huh? He shall send, listen what he said. He shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. I don't think there was any doubt in his voice when he said that. This is what God's gonna do. He's got a bride. He's got a bride for his heir. And listen, he said, his angel go before thee. God's true preachers don't go into this world alone. We don't persuade men to love Christ, to believe Christ, to come to Christ by our logic or by our wit or by our powers of persuasion. It'd be an utter waste of time. But the Spirit of God goes before giving life to a dead sinner, giving sinners an ear, opens that ear to hear the gospel, eyes to see, a heart to receive the word, to love him. And these things aren't in any way accomplished by man, not by buildings, not by all the foolishness that goes on in our day in religion. It's done by the power of God. Only God can save a sinner. In Romans 1:10, verse 3, we read this, Thy people shall be willing. When? In the day of His power. In the day of Thy power. Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. That bride had been chosen. Listen to this. We're bound to give thanks always, at all times, to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you unto salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. The bride has been chosen, and that servant will journey and endure all things for the sake of that bride. Paul said, I endure all things for the elect's sake. And his elect, his bride, she's going to hear that message. There was no doubt. He said he'll send his angel. And that bride, she's going to come. His elect, his bride is going to hear that message, and she's going to hear the message of her beloved, who is servant. Our pastor, he mentioned that last week. The importance, the importance of God's word. He's pleased to save his people through the foolishness of preaching. The preaching of God's word. Not foolish preaching. The foolishness of preaching. What man would consider foolishness? Turn to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. Look, beginning with verse 23. Jesus walked into the temple on Solomon's porch, and the Jews came round about him and said unto him, How long makest thou to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. And Jesus answered them, and he said, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you believe not, because you're not my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep, hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. And listen, that bride will come to him. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. He said, I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. All that he's given me. All that he's given me. He said, I'll lose nothing, but I'll raise it up again at the last day. Again, back here in our text, look at Genesis 24, verse 10. The servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hand. And he arose and he went to Mesopotamia, to the city of Nahor. He made his camels kneel down with the city by the well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that the women would go to draw water. And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. Let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, Let down thy pitcher, I pray thee that I may drink, and she shall say, Drink, and I'll give thy camels drink also. Let it be the same she that has appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. Abraham's servant, again, he went to that place where the women would come draw water. And knowing something of the great responsibility of what his master had asked him to do, he prayed. He prayed to Almighty God. Consider the impossibility of this task, humanly speaking. The task of which one's the one? Who is it? Finding the bride for that heir, for the son. Truly, who is sufficient for these things? And he seeks divine help by sincere prayer, seeking God's will, seeking God's direction. And listen, the opening of the heart, the resurrection of the spiritually dead, the conviction of sin, repentance toward God, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, these things are impossible with man. But all things are possible with God. We preach, but the Spirit of God must reveal Christ to the heart. We preach to the head, but Christ, only God can teach. Only God can teach to the heart. All who come to Christ and receive Him must be born of God. True repentance and saving faith are the gift of God. We read that, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of Almighty God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Look at verse 51 of our text here. Here we read, Behold, now he spoke to her. He had told her all the great things of his master's son. And the family said, Behold, Rebekah is before thee. Take her and go, and let her be thy master's son's wife, as the Lord has spoken. Now Abraham's servant was welcomed into that home. But Listen, that message still has to be declared. He didn't sit around just enjoying the food and taking in all he could because he was the master's servant. And in the same manner, Christ's servants aren't to be taken up with this world. Not to be taken up with the things of this world. We're to be taken up with declaring Christ. We're to be taken up with Him. Paul said this. He said, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And this servant declared to Rebekah and to her family all the glory of Isaac. All the glory of his master's house. And we had, that was singular. One message. And we have one message. Christ and Christ alone. And listen, as a people, we're not to be taken up with the servant or anything about it. Only Christ. Now, it's kind of interesting to think about this. This was Abraham's eldest servant. I suspect many people knew him. How could he have been his eldest servant and people not know him? But you know, in this passage, we don't know anything about him. We don't even know his name. Wouldn't that be a great thing? Wouldn't that be a great thing if we could listen to a man and not remember anything about him, but just the message? Huh? He speaks of Isaac and his father. We preach. What do we preach? We preach not ourselves. We preach not ourselves, but we preach the Lord Jesus Christ. And ourselves, we're just servants. Just servants for Jesus' sake. Verse 56. And he said unto them, he said, hinder me not. Seeing the Lord hath prospered my way, send me away that I may go to my master. And they said, we will call the damsel and inquired her mouth. And they called Rebekah and said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. Here's the question to the bride. Wasn't a lot of facts. Wasn't reciting anything. It was this. Wilt thou go? She'd never seen Isaac. She'd never laid eyes on him. She had only heard what the servant said about him. Wilt thou go? Hey, I looked this up earlier today. That can be translated a few different ways. One is just the way it's written there. Will you go with him? The other one is, will you live with him? And the third way is translated as, will you die with him? Rebekah, will you? The question isn't to everybody in that house. They can't answer for her. The question is to the bride. And it's personal, isn't it? Will you go? Look at her answer. Oh, the joy that must have filled that servant's heart when he heard this. She said, I will go. I will go. Will you leave your family? Will you leave all that you know? For him, I'll go. Listen, faith in Christ, salvation in Christ, it's individual, it's personal, and it's a complete and total commitment to him. She's not relying on anyone else anymore. She's gone to Isaac. And listen, knowing the true God of the Bible, and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a we share in it at times, but it's a personal experience. Huh? Paul in Galatians 1:15, he said, "When it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me." She said, Rebecca said, "I will go." Do you still have Genesis 24? Look at verse 64. Somewhere along that journey, we read that Rebecca lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off her camel. I'm sure she saw many sights along the way, but this is the one that matters, isn't it? When she saw him. How did she know it was him? She'd never seen him before. That servant had told her everything he could tell her about him. Huh? She'd been given eyes to see him. Isaac was revealed to her. It was made plain who he was. And I can't help but wonder if we read that earlier. Remember what the Queen of Sheba said? When she saw him and all of his house and all of his servants and all those things, she said the half hadn't even been told. Oh, I knew it was wonderful, but I didn't know it could be this wonderful. And in our text, if we read on, Rebecca, it says she covered her face with a veil. Now that's some type of tradition, I'm sure, but listen, she covered her face, maybe out of modesty, maybe out of subjection to him. Back in Isaiah 6, we read there that the seraphims, in the presence of Almighty God, they covered their faces. Again, in modesty and in humility, maybe something of our unworthiness to cover our faces. And quickly, look with me at the last verse here of Genesis 24. I told you this was a love story. Okay? Look at verse 67. Isaac brought Rebekah into his mother's tent and took Rebekah and she became his wife. And listen, he loved her. He loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. He loved her. Now we would do well to love our wives. That's clear. That's clear in God's word. That's there's no question about that. I'm not sure who wrote this. I think Abby's got it hanging on the refrigerator. But listen, that love that a man should have for his wife, it's a strong affection. Providing all things necessary for them, protecting them, concealing their faults, promoting their spiritual good. A sincere love that is evident in public and in private. Huh? A love that exceeds that of our friends, that of our neighbors, that of even our parents. The scriptures say, "So shall a man love his mother and father and cleave to his wife." The only thing that it does not exceed is our love for the Savior, for the Lord Jesus Christ. They're a helpmate. They're a companion. They're our own. How could we not love them? They're our own flesh. The two shall become one. But let's not stop there. Remember, this is a picture of Christ in his church. It says he loved her. Christ loved his church. He loves her. He loves me. Consider that. In Jeremiah 31, we read that the Lord loves his people with an everlasting love. Yea, have I loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. In Ephesians 5, we read, He loved us and gave himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice unto God for a sweet-smelling savor. He was made sin for us. The Lord Jesus Christ was made sin for his people. He loved me, and he gave himself for me. An everlasting love, a particular love, a sacrificial love, a love in which we are eternally secure. Over in Romans 8, nothing. He goes through a whole list of things. Nothing shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And just as Abraham sent his servant in search of his bride, that bride for his son, God continues to send forth his ministers with the same mission, with the same command. One message. It's one message. Has nothing to do with the servant. Has everything to do with the son. Goes forth with that message. He sends forth his spirit to give life to dead sinners, to give faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And just like Rebecca of old, when they hear his voice, there's no mistaking it for any other. They hear his voice and that irresistible call to his people. When he calls his people, they answer with one response. I'll go. I will go. Forsaking all, we cling to him and him alone. And listen. Why is that? Because he loved her. He loved her. That's our hope. Isn't that our hope? Isn't that what? Do we rest? Is there anything else in this world to rest in other than the Lord Jesus Christ? That he loved us and that he gave himself for us. Greater love hath no man than that he would lay down his life for his friends. Well, I pray the Lord would enable us to rest and be comforted through his word. Let's go to our Lord in prayer. Our God and Father in heaven, we thank you for this thy word. Lord, help us to enter into that. Lord, that you loved us. That you loved us and gave yourself for us. How we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, bless us to know him. Bless us to rest in him. And rest in knowing that you loved us. Oh, what a blessing, Lord. We again thank you for your mercies upon us and pray that you would bless us to know the Savior. For it's in his name we pray and give thee thanks.
Okay, if you would turn to song number 393, Take My Life and Let It Be.
Take my life and let it be, consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of thy love, at the impulse of thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for thee. Take my voice and let me sing, always only for my King, always only for my King. Take my lips and let them be filled with messages for thee. Take my silver and my gold, not a mite would I withhold, not a mite would I withhold. Take my love, my God, I pour, at thy feet its treasure store. Take myself and I